I got it. Come and get it. Who's your daddy? Who's your baby? Who's your buddy? Who's your friend? And who's the one guy that you come running to when your little life starts tumbling?
The lights and the harbor.
The Liberty Lounge. Brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time here on Just Measures Radio Network. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs. Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream sat one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man, and I can't seem to stop. I love to give the girls a...
So join every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge.
But we have to stop looking for salvation in this system. The system is not going to fix itself. If the system is restored, it will be restored with the hammer of patriotism smacking this system out between the anvil of freedom and teaching this system that there is a shape we wanted to maintain. And that we have the forge of rage, and we will put that system in that forge of rage, and we will use that hammer of liberty and pound it against the anvil of freedom until it returns to the shape we want it to be in.
You tell them I'm coming, and Jason's coming with me. You hear? Jason's coming with me!
I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag.
You see, we got a little hole in that flag there. When Washington took it across.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Do you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we going to put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back? Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds. And if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for The Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on The Shooting Bench. And we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
The views expressed in the following broadcast are not necessarily those of Just Measures Radio or the owners or sponsors thereof. Any and all mention of laws, ordinances, or policies are not to be construed as legal advice or necessarily all-inclusive. The listener bears all responsibility in verifying this information. Be advised that this broadcast may be inflammatory to those with thin skin, limp wrists, and room temperature IQs. Furthermore, the statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the state of California to inspire free thinking and may promote unexpected growth and backbone. Listener discretion is advised.
All right, here we are. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of The Shooting Bench. It's the 26th of March, and this is an awesome day to be an American. We have great news we're going to share with you here in just a few minutes.
Anyway, before we get into that, I want to remind people to check on our schedule for Schott's Ranch, schottsranch.com. Look at the schedule there. We're continually working on that. Everything, or almost everything in the schedule now, has been provided with a hot link so that you can see a class that interests you and click on it and go right to the description of that class. And then we're still working on the ways to get signed up automatically on there. If you have any questions, any problems, you can either email me at cope@schottsranch.com or you can call 928-208-4867 and we'll help you out and get you squared away here. I don't know what kind of weather y'all are having up there, but we are having, I just got a picture of my daughter's shed out behind her house here, and it looks like you've thrown a grenade in it. It kind of blew up. Wind is awful here. Unbelievable. We're getting as high as, you know, 55, 60 mile an hour gust here, and it's been steady, you know, 40 miles an hour for the last couple of days. And it's quite a spectacle here. Oh, yeah. We've got our balcony runs pretty much, outside balcony runs pretty much just about east and west. And we've got a firewood box that we set up on there. Two of them, actually. We've got one that's probably a little over 2 foot deep, 28 inches deep or so, and roughly 3.5 to 4 feet long and about 30 inches wide. It's plastic, of course, so it doesn't weigh a lot when it's empty. And we've got a bigger one that opens up. It's kind of like people put on their around their gardens and stuff to keep their tools in and stuff. And it's about it's 4 foot deep, 4 foot long, and a good 3 foot wide. We have a big barbecue grill out there. The big one, the hold with a bottle of propane in it, a 5 gallon bottle of propane. It's not your average grill. It's a good size heavy grill. So just think about all that stuff. There's two barrels out there. One's full of kindling, one's full of what we call starting wood, a little bit bigger than kindling, but not as big as regular firewood. And all of that stuff was piled up against the end of the balcony down, except for the barbecue grill. That barbecue grill probably weighs, I bet it probably, with a bottle of propane in it, weighs every bit of 200 pounds. It's pretty heavy. And it was scooted out away from the wall about a foot and a half. Everything else was piled up against the end of the balcony. The one wood box just exploded and blew the lid off. It's out in the pasture somewhere. We'll have to go find it. The other one blew, wind gust must have changed. It went down to the other end, went down one edge of the balcony and down the stairs, and it's just been a real wreck around here. But anyway, I know some of you have checked in here, and I'm going to give a few more minutes for the got a couple of other people I'm expecting in the chat room here that told me earlier they'd be in there, so we're going to stall here just a little bit for time. But I've got some later on in the show. I've got a few pictures I think I can share with you. I think I got them all loaded up properly today. What we've been doing out at the ranch, we've got the classroom all finished up. Had a great class out there this weekend. I told you about that already. And let's see if I can go get those ready. And then when it's time here, I can throw those pictures in the chat room for you. As a matter of fact, let me do that here right quick. Let me throw one of these in here. This one is the classroom from the inside. It's almost finished. We've still got a... Oh, poop. That didn't work. It's almost finished. We've got a little bit of trim work to do, a little bit of painting around the walls and everything, and in the corners. So just a little bit of minor stuff to do. Got a few lights to hang and stuff like that, but it's usable. It works pretty well. And Is that you playing footsie with me? No, that's a chair. Never mind. I was hoping. All right. And I'll show you, this is just one of our, for those of you, wait a minute, did I screw that up already? Oh, yeah, I did. That's not the classroom. That's the range. Wow, that was dumb. But, all right, now here's the classroom. Okay, that looks a little better. All right, I've got a few more I'll throw in there. But I have some of the most awesome news tonight. It's, I don't know, there's not too many things that could make it any better. It's one of those things that you dream about, you think about, and you say, boy, I wish this would happen. And then when you see it in real life, you think, well, it can't be true. It's, I saw this and I looked and I said, it must be from a satire site of some kind or somebody just being funny. And then it come out, it's almost that good, M. Jantz, not quite. It's almost that good. And thank you all for being in the chat room there tonight anyway. It's almost that good. You remember the senator that's been, oh, he's tried several times. He's probably one of the two most anti-gun legislators in California, probably in the country. This would be Senator Yee, Leland Yee. And remember, we talked about him. We talked about him twice here in the last few months. With some of the laws that he has introduced, trying to get more restrictions on us. I almost hate to tell you, this is too good. It's trying to drag it out here. Anyway, long story short, Senator Yee was arrested for what? Let me give you a couple of hints. No, let me not. Just guess. Yeah, Mountain Shooter, you're right. That guy is a jerk. Mountain Shooter's got that right so far. What do you think he was arrested for? Well, it appears the good senator not only has he been involved in other corruption type deals, wire fraud and stuff like this. But you know, now he's been arrested today, accused of conspiracy to deal in firearms. Gun trafficking is what he was doing. Is that awesome or what? And I read this and I looked at it and I said, yeah, that's real funny. That would be real cool if that really happened. And I'm looking all over trying to get some kind of evidence that it's from, the onion.com or whatever that is, or the Duffel blog or one of them other stupid sites that gets all the stuff out there that gets everybody excited and then finds out it's not true. Well, this is absolutely true. ABC, Fox, it's everywhere. And the Second Amendment people are going absolutely nuts over this. Senator Yee is in federal court facing a 7-count felony indictment of gun trafficking and political corruption. He represents half of San Francisco and most of San Mateo County. His stunning arrest happened today as the FBI raided multiple Bay Area locations. Federal agents swept at least 5 locations in this corruption bust. They saw him at Yee's home in San Francisco, his legislative office in the state capitol in Sacramento, the Chinese Freemasons Lodge in Chinatown, the headquarters of Bay Steel in San Francisco's Bayview District, and another home in San Mateo. The federal indictment was just unsealed. It spells out charges against Yee of conspiracy to traffic in firearms without a license and 6 counts of a scheme to defraud citizens of honest service. 19 of the 26 people charged in the federal complaint appeared in federal court Wednesday afternoon. The counts are indeed shocking. The complaint charges that he conspired with a close associate of his, a man who helped raise money for his campaign, and a notorious former Chinatown gangster who, earlier in his life, a couple of years ago, I guess, that he'd turned his life around in a new interview with the news. And, well, they didn't completely believe him, they didn't quit following him because they figured he was still up to something. Well, all of this was only a part of it. Senator Yi was the main thing going on here. And he was driven to the federal court building, booked on public corruption charges, including bribery and weapons trafficking. So, don't do as I do. Do as I say do. That is awesome. Absolutely amazing. Wesley, go see what them dogs barking about. You may have shoot a coyote out there or something. If you don't mind.
Another one busts the dust. Another one busts the dust. Ow! Another one busts the dust. Hey, hey! Another one busts the dust. Hey!
And this right here is just especially for Senator Yi. I hope he's listening to the Shooting Bench tonight.
Reborn an asshole, or did you work it in your whole life? Either way, it worked out fine, because you're an asshole tonight. Yes, you're an A-S-S-H-O-L-E. Don't you try to blame it on me. You deserve all the credit. You're an asshole tonight. You were an asshole yesterday. You're an asshole tonight. I've got a feeling you'll be an asshole the rest of your life.
Go special song for Senator Yi, and we want to send that out to him just especially. But what does that for us? I guess this is our song.
And you know, I guess that makes me the winner.
All right, that's enough. Anyway, but on a more serious note here. How many of these senators, how many we've seen during Fast and Furious, we saw mayors, police chiefs, public trustees, city trustees, and a number of other officials and gun dealers and things that were involved in Fast and Furious. Everything from the Attorney General on down, the United States Attorney General. It's nice that Senator Yi was caught, but how many more around the country are doing things similar? How many of the Dianne Feinsteins and Carolyn McCarthy's out there are there that are trying to? It's hypocritical enough that they are surrounded by armed guards all the time, and then telling everybody they shouldn't have guns. That's hypocritical enough. And now we find one that is trying to take our guns away constantly. And what is he getting thrown in jail for? Illegal trafficking of weapons. I just love it when a plan comes together. That was the best news. I've been waiting all day to get on here and share that with you. That was amazing. But we'll keep an eye on that, and we'll let you know what goes on here with Senator Yee. And I'm sure that he'll have, won't be long till he'll have him a boyfriend and in the club fed, and he'll be taken care of here. All right. Sadder news than that now. Over the last two or three months or so, we've talked about Justina, I'm not sure how to say this, whether it's Pelletier or Pelletier, Pelletier, something like that. The little girl that was taken from the state, the state took the girl from her parents in Massachusetts. Well, she's in Connecticut, and the Massachusetts judge ruled this. I'm not sure. Let's see. The Boston Globe has now, the judge granted permanent custody to the state. Now, if you remember this, this little girl had a medical problem. They weren't sure what it was. And they took her in and had her diagnosed, and they didn't believe it, and they wanted to take her somewhere else and have her checked again. And somewhere during that time, I'm thinking that probably one of the doctors called, or somebody in the hospital had called and complained about it. And long story short, they took the little girl away some time ago, several months ago. And they've been fighting to get her back all this time. From what I can tell, from everything in the story, what anybody can tell that has read this, there's been no wrongdoing, no abuse, no nothing that should justify taking this little girl away from her family. And now they, you know, it really makes you wonder what else it is behind this story. Why in the world would they? Yeah, Edge of the Woods. That is. If the dad did what I would be so inclined to do, what Edge of the Woods would be inclined to do, you know, it'd be awfully hard not to go to guns for this. I can't imagine how heartbreaking, how absolutely shocking it must be to hear the news that, you know, that we've decided we're going to keep your kid. I don't get it. I really don't understand. So the dad gets, well, he didn't. I'm just saying, if he did, if I was the dad, I'm afraid this might happen. What they need is community support. What they need is the whole community, the whole country as a community, to get together and say, no, hell no. Not just no, but hell no, you're not taking that little girl. Show us where she's in danger by being with her parents. They've already determined that the little girl's health problems, or mental health problems, have deteriorated since the state took over. They're going to kill her, is what they're going to do. And unlike some of the other, many of the other murders that are committed by different governmental entities throughout, you know, every week and every day that goes by, this one's going to be nice and slow. This one's going to take this little girl there. They're eventually going to kill her. And the way it is right now, legally, the parents don't have any recourse. So they'll get to appeal it in a couple of months. But why they may even win the appeal. I don't know. I kind of doubt it at this point. But even if they did, why in God's name should a family have to go through this at the hands of the government that they're supposed to be protecting their rights, and you know, don't these people have anything better to do? There are so many things that they could spend time and money on. You know, they got, I'll bet you they could be fixing streets. They could be finding illegal aliens. They could be, you know, there's any number of things they could be spending their money on. Hey, Gauntlet 40 made it in there. Did you make it back back to the People's Republic of Illinois all right? Yeah, Gauntlet 40 was in class with us here last weekend. Had a good time. It was a lot of fun. And hopefully they'll get to come back here one of these days. Anyway. And then today, what did we hear? There was something I was going to talk about today. I'll have to find it during the break. And by the way, since we're talking about breaks, we're only about 2 minutes early. So I'm going to go find that for you. And when I come back, we got several other things to talk about. Let me bring this. We haven't heard this for a little while. So give me about 6-7 minutes here, and I'll be back.
And all you can do is laugh. Doesn't anybody know how to pray? Arizona, take off your rainbow shades. Arizona, have another look at the world on my
Criminals prefer an unarmed public. Our nation's worst crime statistics and most horrific recent events have taken place in areas that are known to be no-carry zones for law-abiding citizens. There's a reason schools make such good targets for gun violence. Only the criminal will be armed.
I had to chuckle because then I noticed you had Mr. Brady up here who was hit not with an assault weapon but with a .22 caliber revolver. So getting beyond that.
It's about the weapons, the guns. Where did the killer get them?
They're shocked at how easy it is to purchase a gun.
It is simply too easy to obtain a firearm.
While the gun is considered an instrument of war by many, to me, it is clearly an instrument of peace and of liberty. The gun promotes peace in the hands of peaceful people. The gun has no mind of its own, it has no morals, and it has no conscience. In the same moment that the gun takes a life, it can be saving one and not be able to distinguish the difference. The gun and its use, for good or for evil, is solely at the discretion of its bearer.
It took me a good 45 seconds to realize that this man wasn't there to commit a robbery. He wasn't there for a hit. He was there to simply shoot as many people as he possibly could.
The gun levels the playing field when confronted by larger men, armed men, multiple attackers, and tyrannical governments. The right of self-preservation, the right to possess that gun, was afforded me by my maker and is non-negotiable. It is not up for consideration or discussion by any man or group of men on this earth. The right to bear arms is what protects my other rights, and considering the source of that right, it cannot and will not be taken away or disguised as some watered-down compromise. There are a few rights that man is born with, and it has been that way since the dawn of time. The Constitution of the United States enumerates those rights for us, and the protection that it affords us is comforting. However, the Constitution has been ignored, gagged, whisked away to an office full of men that have taken pleasure in violating her, leaving her torn and bleeding, unable to help herself. People that were appointed stewards over her have been neglectful. They have been lured into complacency and have inadvertently turned a blind eye towards this criminal act. We, the people, have been distracted. We were promised safety and protection by the very men that have perpetrated this vile deed.
without the support and protection of free men, dedicated, patriotic Americans, the Constitution is truly nothing more than a piece of paper.
Remember real clear years ago in the swamps of South Georgia, cane pole and crossman in my hands, all I needed to be growed up. Homemade ice cream and barbecue and the family on Friday nights. 10-lane Ram on Saturday, right before the morning light. Came a time I was old enough and I learned about the gun. And every night at supper time I answer to what I'd done. Hoops to Dave, I forgot about the way it used to be. They got no respect and no cold steel, just games on TV. I'm burning hell before I sell my rights away from me. It's high time we embrace the tool that keeps all men free.
We have a message for those that would take our guns away, whomever they may be, from whatever country, or whatever unconstitutional faction they may belong to. Please understand that we have had everything taken from us that we are willing to surrender. Some of us have been shooting since before many of you were born. Many of us were trained by the same people that trained you. And some of us, through years of experience, know tricks that they haven't taught you yet. Think of your families and your future with them as we have done. We have decided that our future and that of our children cannot and will not be without freedom. We are willing to die to defend those God-given rights if need be. The question that each of you must ask yourselves, are you willing to die to take them away?
From Hillary Clinton, from Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, from a whole gaggle of numbnuts who would try to tell me they will dictate where, how, and if I can defend myself. I find that preposterous. I find it unacceptable, and I will not accept it. I am a free man. Don't tread on me.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Corp Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench, here on Just Measures Radio.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me.
There's always one out there. We have a legislator here out of a state senator, another one, out of Rhode Island. I wish I could play this video clip for you. It's not very long. I don't even think it's 30 seconds. But I wish I could play it for you. If you haven't seen it, maybe I'll put the link in the chat room. This made a big splash out there. However, I don't recall seeing this on mainstream news here. So let me see if I can explain this to you the best I can. He's from Rhode Island, and he had a Second Amendment guy, pro-gun person there that was asking him, challenging him on some of his thoughts and everything. Of course, he's a very anti-gun idiot here. Let's see, his name is Josh Miller. Now, I've been to Josh Miller's Facebook page, and I went to his website, and every place else that I thought I could communicate with him, and told him just what a low-life, sorry, no-good scumbag that I thought he was. And, of course, I believe you me, I was not the first one, nor was I the second. By the time I got there, I wasn't even the 500th. I mean, there were thousands of people that have weighed in on this. Anyway, he told the guy, this was about a little over a week ago. He was on Truth Radio, Truth Radio Show. I guess that's the name of it, Truth Radio Show. And he said, yeah, the Second Amendment shall not be infringed. You people need to understand that. Yeah. And so the senator, state senator, says, go F yourself. On camera, in front of the whole nation, and then this little rump ranger that was following him around there, little freak. He said, yeah, go F yourself. And the guy said, good comment, sir, good comment. That was, it's hard not to, respond in kind when somebody says something like that. And you just want to reach out and slap them. And, I think the guy, the interviewer there, did a good job by holding his temper and not responding in the same way. Of course, on the one hand, naturally, you say that, and you simply nothing more than lowering yourself to their level. It's all there is to it. And it's. I was just blown away when I saw this. Anyway, there was a story that I pulled up last night after the show was over. I mean, right, just immediately. I was just sitting here, uploading the podcast and stuff, and I saw this story about a little girl. She was 8 years old, wasn't she, Amy? Yeah, 8-year-old girl. Going to a quote unquote Christian school in Forest, Virginia, Timberlake Christian School. They expelled this girl because she looked too much like a boy. Let that soak in there a second. Think about that. How in the world do you expel a kid for looking like a boy? Well, they say that the school's dress code clearly spells that out. And yeah, that was the one yesterday that we're talking about the dress code. This didn't have anything to do with the dress code. The little girl yesterday that shaved her head in support of her friend, that was the one where they brought the dress code in. But this one here, they said they were quoting scripture. The little girl has short hair. And she wears jeans, and they say that her heart is as big as the hall closet, and she's simply a tomboy. And they didn't even come up and say, look, you know, we'd like for the girl to be a little more ladylike, which I don't agree with that either. I'm not advocating this. But I'm saying they didn't come up and say, we'd like to see her look a little more like a girl, a little more ladylike, something to see there's confusion in the school. They didn't. They just kicked her out. She had, now how humiliating would that be at 8 years old? How many humiliating would that be at 28 years old? But her grandparents had adopted her, and grandparents had pulled her out of the school after they got a letter. The letter criticized her, named Sunny, the little girl, for confusing the other students about her gender identity, and went on to imply that the child was sexually immoral. Really? An 8-year-old kid? They haven't even heard the word sexually, probably, until they heard that letter. The school referenced Bible versions they interpreted to affirm Christianity's opposition to homosexuality and alternative gender identities. Now, it might have been one thing, and I probably would have backed her up if, hey, Indiana Bones in the chat room. Well, good to see you, buddy. Long time no see. It probably would have been a little more understandable if it would have been a little boy that was dressing like a girl and trying to get in a girl's bathroom and all this stuff. Maybe that, I could have probably gone for that. But this is just a little girl that goes to the girl's bathroom and plays with the little girls out on the playground, and she just has short hair and wears jeans, and she's a tomboy. Amy said she was a tomboy. She used to like to play with Tonka trucks and all that kind of stuff. So this Christian school, she says, we believe that unless Sunny, as well as her family, clearly understand that God has made her female and her dress and behavior need to follow suit with her God-ordained identity, that Timberlake Christian School is not the best place for her future education. I'm sorry, I misunderstood. You said kiss my what? She keeps her hair very short. She likes wearing sporty clothing, which seems like good old-fashioned common sense for a kid who likes going outside, but her preference for a close haircut has made her ostracized at her school. She cries every morning to get on the bus. She cries when she comes home because she wants to go back to Timberlake Christian School with her friends. Sunny now attends public school. Let me put a picture of this little girl in the chat room for you. Bless her heart. Anyway, this morning on Amy's show, Amy talked about this, and quite naturally I had to put in my 2 cents worth. And I decided we'd just call Timberlake Christian School. So we did. I called him right on the air, I said, I hear I had a nice girl named, what was her name, Amy? Elizabeth? Oh, I don't remember. Anyway, nice lady answered the phone. How you doing? I'm doing just fine. How are you? And I should have pulled that up and played it for you. And I might have to do that during the next break here. Well, I can't because I'm recording on that program. So anyway, I asked him about the whole thing. She says, well, there's more to it than that. And I said, what more could there possibly be? There's a little girl there trying to go to school, and she's sidestepping around it. And she must have been a very busy person this morning. I went to their website. And their website too. I put a review on their website. I went to their Facebook page, and good grief, you would not believe. Well, it would be kind of like my Facebook page back when I put the Obama sign up on the store door out there, except for I had all good responses for the most part, and they had all bad responses. One after another, after another, after another, page after page after page, and I didn't see one single supporting post on there. That school had to have damaged themselves. There are people on there saying that I live in this, there, my kid goes to that school, and I'll be pulling my kid out. There's other ones saying that if I live there, my kid would never go. You call yourself a Christian, and blah, blah, blah. This went on. Yeah, they got their butt handed to them on a plate on Facebook. So it's going to be really exciting. Of course, the grandma and them said that they're, you know, no matter what, that she's not going back to that school. But I'd like to see what kind of apologies or responses or, you know, backpedaling that we get from this school. Unbelievable. Yeah, I'd say that this little girl is, I don't particularly think she looks like a boy. Look at that picture. Yeah, she's got short hair and she looks like she's a little husky. And yeah, that's right, Ryan. It's a risk. I did. I remember I told him I'd sue him. If it was my little girl, I'd sue the hell out of him. Man. I think she still looks like a little girl. She didn't look much like a little boy anyway. But in spite of that, this is a, you know, you might expect that out of some other, maybe some type of a private school or maybe even public school. But for this to come out of a Christian school, a supposedly Christian school, this gives every Christian in the country a black eye to think that a real Christian, a real card-carrying Christian, would make this type of accusation on this girl and these implications and kick this girl out of school. And to say the things that they said was astounding to me. But anyway, that's... Said she isn't the only kid getting kicked around by school officials that favor dress codes more than common sense. The little girl, this is talking about the story we talked about last night. The little girl who shaved her head in support of her friend with cancer was suspended from her Colorado school, although this decision was reversed. You know why the decision was reversed? I'll tell you exactly why the decision was reversed. Because they got absolutely creamed, hammered. There was no end to the amount of correspondence that they got in the form of emails, phone calls, and Facebook responses. I mean, they just killed them over it. And it said that's what the dress code said. So we found out after the show was over yesterday, it was during the show that they reversed it. And said that they could make an exception for whatever kind of circumstances that they called it there. Why do you not have someone with enough common sense in school to say, to just jump up there and say, oh, the book says no shaved heads. Kick her out. Get her out here. Suspend her. Tell her to get a wig or grow her hair back out, but she ain't coming back like that. Where's the level heads? Where are the people that we entrust with our children to make good, sound decisions when stuff like this happens? Why didn't they say, okay, get everybody reading a book there for a minute. Staff, I want to meet you in my office. Okay, what do we do? I know what the book says, but look at the reason she did this. How many other kids... How many other adults, how many 9-year-olds do you know that would take it of their own volition and say, you know what? My friend is suffering. She's humiliated. She's going through this. I'm not going to let her go through it alone. I'm going to shave my hair off and donate it to this outfit. And I'm going to join her. And we're going to spend time together. While we're waiting for her to get well and get her hair growing back. How many of you would have done that for your friends? Why didn't this principal or whoever made this decision in school sit down and say, I know what the book says, but you know what? This is what I would call exemplary behavior. We have to make an exception. No, hell no. Let's just kick her out. Just get her out of here. We can't do that because the dress code said we can't. Oh, well. That's life in the big city right now, I reckon. All right, hold on. I've got a whole bunch more stories here. Let me see here. Stand by a minute. We got more stuff. Breaking news here. Okay, that's not terribly important. We'll worry about that later. All right. Go to my other page here and get started on some other stuff. We've got several other things we need to work on here as the night goes on, or the next hour goes on. A little too early to take a break. Amy just sent me something here. Do I have to listen to this to be able to comment on it, Amy?
What?
So do I have to listen to this to be able to comment on it, or is this a text thing?
What
you just got through sending me. All right, never mind. With all the gun stuff that's going on here, the state of Georgia has just passed an absolutely awesome bill. They are definitely catching up and even passing some of the more pro-gun states. Listen to what they've done in Georgia. Now, I'm going to tell you this before I even read this. We have to look at this for what it is. Some people say, well, that's not good enough, or why would they do that? Well, why don't you look at it as, you know, it's a whole lot better than they had before. It's a step in the right direction. Let's support them and hope that this continues on. This is how New Mexico was. When New Mexico went from no loaded concealed carry anywhere at any time, although it was only a petty misdemeanor if you got caught, unless you carried into Walmart or somewhere that sold alcohol, then it was a fourth degree felony. So they went from that to having a shall issue concealed carry law, which still did not include any place that sold alcohol in any fashion, whether it was by the drink or by the package. And then they went to where you could carry it in places that sold beer or sold packaged goods only, as long as you had a permit and you were concealed. And then they went to the last time was you can carry in places that sell alcohol by the drink, restaurants, as long as it's only beer and wine, and they derive over half of their revenue from the sale of food. You know, so that's, that wasn't too hard to figure out. So they keep coming every 2 or 3 years. They have come up with another thing that has been better. They haven't gone downhill at all. Their governor has gone downhill. Their governor has gone down. I saw that, Indiana Bones. I saw that today. New law in Indiana allows firearms in school parking lots. How awesome is that? So much for the, thousand-foot or thousand-yard thing or whatever it is at the feds. Yeah, that's awesome. But listen to all the things that they... This is all in one sweeping pass here with HB 60 in Georgia. Removal of fingerprinting for renewal of weapons of CCW. They call them weapons carry license, or WCL. Always got to be different. You know, we'll just call it CCW. Removal of fingerprinting for the renewal of CCWs. That makes sense. How much do your fingerprints change in 3 or 4 years? Prohibiting the state from creating and maintaining a database of CCW holders. Now, that's pretty damn cool. I bet there ain't too many states has got that. Creation of an absolute defense for the legal use of deadly force in the face of a violent attack. That's good. removal of the sweeping restrictions on legally carrying a firearm with a CCW in churches and bars, leaving this decision to private property owners. What a novel freaking concept. That's a lot like, that's almost like following the Constitution a little bit. Yeah, if you're running a church or a bar or business of any kind and you don't want guns there, then you put a sign up that says, "I don't want your business, go somewhere else." And I will, and gladly. Lowering the age to obtain a concealed carry permit for self-defense from 21 to 18 for active duty military with specific training. Okay. That's could be better. Could lower it for everybody to 18. But with one step at a time. This is a perfectly sensible segment here where we have people that learn to operate weapons of mass destruction and drive tanks and shoot machine guns and do all this, and they can't get a CCW when they come home on leave? Really? They, of course, when you lower the age to 18, then you also have a little problem with states like Indiana that allows you to get a permit at 18, but then you have a little problem with reciprocity with some states because the states say you have to be 21. So that creates a problem for people in Indiana when they travel to certain places. Let's see. Repealing the unnecessary and duplicative state-required license for a firearms dealer, instead only requiring a federal firearms license. I had no idea that states even required a dealer, or any state required a dealer to get a license. But anyway, they're getting rid of it. Prohibiting a ban on firearms in public housing, ensuring that the right to self-defense should not be infringed based on where one calls home. That's a good one. Codifying the ability to legally carry with CCW in sterile, non-secure areas of airports. Now, why should that have to be codified? Now, that should just be common sense. But I mean, still, they're doing it, so that's good. Including a provision that would have the state report those persons who have been voluntarily hospitalized or have been adjudicated mentally deficient to the NICS system, while also providing an ability for relief through an application process to the court system for a purpose of restoration of rights. Now, that's a great deal there. In most places, you get people with PTSD, or they just get evaluated in the hospital involuntarily. They get evaluated for mental health issues or something. They find out that nothing's even wrong with them, but they were there and they were evaluated for that, and they lose their gun rights forever. Thanks to Frank Lautenberg and some of them jerks. So this provides people with having done that with the right to apply to the courts for restoration of rights. Another one here stating that under a declared state of emergency, all law-abiding gun owners will not have their Second Amendment rights restricted or infringed by executive authority through emergency powers protection. Stating that under a declared state of emergency, all law-abiding gun owners will not have their Second Amendment rights restricted or infringed by executive authority through emergency powers protection. Thank you very much. God bless Georgia. Strengthening current firearms preemption statutes through further clarification of a regulatory authority of local governments excluding firearm discharge ordinances. So I think that Georgia's kind of taking, and believe it or not, this bill passed 112 to 58. It wasn't even close. And they'll now present this to the governor, who is a Republican and plans to run for re-election. Now, it would appear to me that if I were a governor of a state that the state legislature just passed something 112 to 58, and assuming that they are representing their constituents, and realizing that I'm in a rabidly pro-gun state, I think I'd just go right on ahead and sign it and not think nothing more about it. I think that's going to be the best course of action there for them to take. All right. Well, let's see. Let me move that and put this over here, and I'll be back.
I just hate stupid people.
Now you listen to me. Who the hell are you? You know. You all know exactly who I am. Say my name.
Do what? I don't have a damn clue who the hell you are.
Yeah, you do.
That's right.
Now, say my name.
John Galt on the Teotihuacan Radio Show, live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Just Measures Radio Network.
Enemy is approaching fast, requesting orders. General, what should we do?
There's no response from command. Or from party leader Creedy. Or from the High Chancellor.
Why are you doing this?
Because he was right.
About what?
That this country needs more than a building right now. It needs hope.
Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. Inevitable.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Is it common sense to allow your activist judges to ignore your history, your culture, your Declaration of Independence, and every other founding document to remove God from public life? And endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, their creator, not the ACLU, not the will of the atheist, or the anti-Americans that sit on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco. Separation of church and state, yes. Separation of God from public life, never intended by your founding fathers. Is it common sense that the very political party who claims to be the party of the people and shouts, "We will bring change," consistently stops all common sense legislation to secure your borders, establish workplace verification, and stop taxpayer money for illegals? They call themselves progressive global thinkers. We had another word for them in 1776. We call them traitors. This happened all once before. 232 years ago, it led to revolution and thousands of dead in the streets. It will happen again unless you take back America now.
I hope we have once again reminded people that man is not free unless government is limited. There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
From my cold, dead hands.
Only an aroused citizenry will turn this uncommon sense around. And he or she who does nothing now is helping them to destroy America. My name is Thomas Paine, and I approve of this message. I only hope to God you will too.
Colonized America, we won't stand for tyranny. Oh, he. And it's too late to apologize. It's too late. I said it's too late to apologize. It's too
late. Shop Saturday evenings 9 p.m. on JMR. Remember, we all are the library for those who come after us.
Hey
It was over in a moment and the folks had gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Big iron, big iron.
All right, welcome back to the second hour of the Shooting Bench. We've got a lot of good stuff going on here tonight. Let me check and see. In Spirit has joined us in the chat room. Indiana Bones, we don't get to see very often. Gauntlet, a lot of the regulars here. Got several anonymous in here tonight. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5, looks like 5 anonymous here, and a couple in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 more anonymous have just recently signed off. So, all right. Well, good deal. I'm glad y'all could join us tonight. Why do I have noise happening on my radio show right now? Stand by just a minute. Let me see why.
A social studies workbook in an Illinois middle school.
All right. Well, I was going to talk about that anyway, so we'll just go ahead and let them tell you. All right. Here we go.
Starting a controversy for claiming that gun control is part of the Second Amendment, according to the book, quote, "This amendment, the Second Amendment, states that people have the right to certain weapons providing that they register them and have not been in prison." That middle school superintendent, Bob Hill, now defending the workbook.
What happens with the right to bear arms in the context of 2014 is the right to bear arms in reality, not as written in the Constitution, but in reality, is it in any way abridged? And the answer to that is yes, in some places, by the need to register guns or register gun owners and so on.
So the Constitution up for debate? Really, here to weigh in is Fox News senior judicial analyst Judge Andrew Napolitano. He's doubling down.
Well, he is acting as if a couple of recent Supreme Court opinions don't exist. Maybe he wishes they didn't exist. But the Supreme Court has said in a famous case called Heller and in another case called McDonald, the McDonald case comes from Chicago, mm-hmm. comes from Illinois, that the right to keep and bear arms is a fundamental liberty, comes from our humanity. It doesn't come from the Constitution. The Constitution prevents the government from interfering with it. Now, this superintendent may wish the law were, as he says it is, but it is not. On the other hand, he comes from a culture which is the most anti-gun.
All right, stop doing that. I'm going to pause this just for a second and let it catch up here. I think that it's outrunning itself here a little bit. Anyway, while we're waiting for that just for a second here, finish hearing what Judge Napolitano has to say, I see where Gauntlet 40 says that Mr. Otis McDonald, who is the plaintiff in a case that he's talking about right there, the McDonald versus Chicago case, is in hospice care right now, fighting cancer. So it'd be a good idea if you're so inclined. Thoughts and prayers up for this guy. He was one of those few that has decided to take on the man, take on the system. So, hey, this ain't right. You guys are not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Let's get this turned around. And by golly, he was successful in it.
Pro-regulation culture in the United States of America, even more difficult than our home state of New Jersey to keep and bear arms, mm-hmm. is the state of Illinois.
Well, the parent said that he posted this on a Facebook page and wanted to remain anonymous because he didn't want his son to be embarrassed at school because of all of it. But he went and talked to the teacher and the head of the history department. They both agreed that it needed to change. And this is what the Constitution says. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So why does it matter if you're in a certain part of the country? I mean, you can't reword the Constitution. Yeah,
that's exactly correct, Anna. The Constitution has to mean the same thing to everybody throughout the entire United States. But some states...
Oh, stop. This buffering stuff ticks me off here. Alright. We still got about 35 seconds of this, dude.
Have gradually worn away at certain rights, and Illinois has worn away at the right to keep and bear arms more than any other state in the Union. And the statistics show it. What's the worst city in the country for murders?
Chicago.
What's the second worst? District of Columbia. Where is it most difficult to keep and bear arms?
Chicago
and the District of Columbia. This guy's making it worse by giving students in the suburbs around Chicago an inaccurate understanding of their rights.
And they're going to keep the workbook.
All right, now
they're going to keep the workbook. Right.
And now it's real quick. Let's go.
Okay, that's the end of it. It's not buffering anymore. Was that not the dumbest thing you'd ever heard? Unbelievable. The Second Amendment to the Constitution means that sometimes it's okay to register guns and register gun owners in certain parts of the country.
A social studies workbook in an Illinois middle school starting...
Hush. Wow. And all kinds of sound problems here tonight. Well, let's go now to... I thought Amy posted this for me. She sent it to me a while ago. And I said, well, I talked about that the other day, last week. But lo and behold, this is another one. This is not the same story. But there was another story here where a guy had shot and killed a robber. And the family was suing. And here's another one where two guys went in, robbed a store, were leaving the store, and run into a CCW holder. I don't know about that, but an armed citizen anyway. And he shot both of them dead. And now the family's wanting to sue him. He was a good boy. Yeah, he was a good boy right up until he... took that gun in there and tried to rob that place. How many times have you heard in these stories? How many times have we heard the same thing? He was a good boy. Well, he maybe he was at some point. The family went on to say that while their boy was a known drug user, he likely only robbed the store so he could get money to pay his child support. Really? And it's okay. He only robbed the store to get money to pay child support. That's the only reason he robbed the store. And that's okay. So we're going to sue you because my good boy robbed a store only so he could pay his child support. Unbelievable. But good boys just don't do that kind of stuff. Good boys from good families don't rob stores to get child support money. So, that's, who's that? So, that's a good point there for training. Not only, you know, part of the thing that we did during this class this last weekend, that we do during all of our defensive weapons classes, is talk about, a little bit about your civil and criminal liabilities and the things that's going to happen in court and some of these things, so that I tell people that defensive shooting is not all about shooting. You know, most people can stand out there at 3 or 4 or 5 yards and blaze away at a humanoid sized target and hit it occasionally, and but I think more importantly is knowing exactly when, why, where, what to do afterwards, what to say, what not to say, how to conduct yourself immediately before and after that shooting are very important things to know, as well as the shooting. Now, it's nice to I'm a firm believer. I'm a damn sure a firm believer in being able to shoot your handgun, your rifle, your shotgun, whatever. Shoot it well. Shoot it at the right time. Take care of business with the least amount of mess. And get it over with and continue on. And when you start having stray bullets running around out there, or bullets that have been launched a little bit prematurely before you knew all the facts, or trying to only comply with the law without any regard for moral values and respect of human life, then there's problems that can arise from this. Lots of problems, very serious and everlasting problems. Some of the problems will be financial, some of them will be psychological, some of them may even be physical out of it. And it will not only affect you and the guy that you shot. It will likely affect, as it did these kids, their families. Now, I don't agree with them saying that he was only robbing the store for the child support money, and that's okay, and that's the only reason he did it. He didn't need to be shot. He was such a good boy. I don't agree with that. But nevertheless, his family is grieving because he was shot. When good guys get shot, especially by accident, people grieve. You know, when cops blaze away into a crowd trying to hit a guy and shoot three or four people, as they did in, where was that, New York, a couple of years ago, where they wounded several people. What about the cops that shot that truck in California? 103 bullets into the truck and wounded two women. Wasn't even the right truck, and they wasn't looking for women to start with. But we got them, boy. That makes us the winner. Those cops need to take my class. Somebody's class. Jeez. But anyway, we spend quite a bit of time on that kind of stuff. And especially in the concealed carry class, we spend several hours on those issues. And the shooting part is kind of secondary in that particular class. As a matter of fact, we have one concealed carry class that doesn't involve any shooting at all, as shooting is not required in the state of Arizona to get a permit. So we have two different classes that we do. So let's go back here. Stand by just a second. I've got some other things I need to share with you. Just got to dig them up here right quick. Okay. All right. Here is another deal here that where an armed customer has saved an employee from being stabbed with a contaminated needle, or saves an employee from a man stabbing him with a contaminated needle. This is one of those things that you probably shouldn't bring to a gunfight, a syringe with a needle on it. According to the reports there, an armed customer saved an unarmed security at a Home Depot in Roseville, Michigan. Here's a quote from the newspaper. Said Berlin said Silva began to fight with store loss prevention officers in the parking lot when they tried to apprehend him for stuffing a $179 battery-powered drill under his coat. Silva pulled a concealed syringe from his jacket and used it as a weapon, swinging it around in a slashing motion. They said he stabbed one of the officers several times with a contaminated needle. Berlin said the victim had more than 5 puncture wounds in the top of his hand. A customer with a concealed pistol license saw the fight, pulled out his handgun, told Silver to drop the syringe and get on the ground. Silva stopped fighting and sat down in the parking lot, police said, but jumped up and ran when he heard the sirens coming. The loss prevention officers allowed him to run, and police officers arrested him without further incident. According to police, the needle was clearly used and had some sort of residue on it. The needle is being tested for any signs of communicable diseases. You know, that would be oh so worse than being shot with a gun, with a bullet. To get stabbed with a needle and then find out that it's contaminated with some type of incurable disease, AIDS or something. How sick would that feeling be? It would take a little while for that to soak in and understand what had happened here. This is the 44th defensive gun use that has been documented in the state of Michigan in recent times here. This is the 1,094th defensive use that they've documented overall. This incident is the most common type of defensive gun use, that is, one in which no shots were fired and no one was hurt by gunfire. Despite this being the most common type of defensive gun use, these incidents are often not included in statistics about defensive gun uses. Many of these statistics and studies focus solely on justifiable homicides. So, good deal. I like that. All right, let me go. I've got a stack of them here. I need to pick them out here. West Virginia has just signed another pro-gun bill into law. Let me get this brought up. This seems to be the norm. This is going on all over the country. I'm really liking what I'm seeing here. But here is a press release from the NRA. This today. Today, West Virginia Governor Earl Tomlin signed into law a measure bringing Charleston and three other cities into the state into uniformity with the rest of the state's gun laws. They have effectively signed a state preemption law here. Senate Bill 317 passed the House of Delegates by 92-5. Now look at the margins that this stuff is passing. That one deal in Georgia, lots of different things addressed in that bill in Georgia, a whole bunch of things. What was there, 12 different things there? Something like that? Passed 112-58. This passed 92-5 after passing the state Senate unanimously. I'd say that people are starting to wake up a little bit. They're starting to see the benefit in having armed citizenry here. So let's see. The bill would bring in uniformity. Let's see. This bill will remove confusion and protect the rights of gun owners throughout the state. It is important to have clear and uniform laws upholding the right to keep and bear arms. For those of you that are not familiar with state preemption laws, what that means is that unlike places like California, where you go through there and the law changes every time you cross a county line, or every time you go in actually to another city, sometimes the laws can change. And state preemption means that the laws will be uniform throughout the state and that you don't have to worry about breaking the law just because you drive 30 miles and stay in your state and then don't know what the laws are. It's a stupid, stupid way to do it. State preemption, definitely the better way to go. But some of the provisions of this say that removing the grandfathered regulations in Charleston and other municipalities that allow a 3-day waiting period on handguns and the purchase of only one handgun a month. Also allowing for the storage of firearms in personal vehicles on municipal property when locked out of sight. Okay, the locked out of sight part should be common sense. On behalf of the NRA's 5 million members across the country, we'd like to thank Governor Tomlin, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Okay, there you go. So that's, we're making headway right along here, just about as fast as we can go. Stand by, let me, it's almost break time, let me get one more, or at least get this up and ready. Let me just go ahead, before I even start on this one, Let me mention once again, if you are looking for defensive weapons training, if you're looking for disaster preparedness, survival stuff, seminars, you want to take some overnight training, you want to do a three-day wilderness survival class, we've got a dozen different types of survival and preparedness classes at Schatz Ranch. Go to schatzranch.com, click on schedule, click on a class that you're interested in. Almost all of them now are hot links. You can go right to the... I love hot links. Yeah, I do. Mm-mm. Amy's trying to be a smarty pants over here. And anyway, you can click on the hot link and it goes right to the page, to the description of the class there. And we're constantly working on that. We're trying to get more automation involved and everything, and it's coming right along nicely. If you have any questions, if something happens and you're not able to navigate or something, please give me a call, send me an email, send it to cope@schatzranch.com or call me at 928-208-4867. That is the number to Schatz Ranch. So with all that being said, let me go over here and get ready for another break here right quick. And what haven't we heard here tonight? This one, I know that some of y'all may get tired of this one. You've heard it several times. But I don't get tired of it. I could listen to it every day. But we've got some new people in the chat room that I know haven't heard this, so I'm going to play it. And then we'll be back here. Let me move that out of the way. Okay.
I'll be back.
My name is John Q. Public, and I am a member in good standing of an organization called America, and I have a message for those agencies and agents that work under the auspices of the Department of Justice. You have called me many things in the past, rebel, right-wing extremist, domestic terrorist, to name a few, but that is not important. What I'm about to tell you is... There must be accountability in all things, sooner or later. When you sin, however big or small, you will be held accountable either in this life or the next. When you invade people's privacy, violate their rights, steal property, break up families, and hurt people, the time is fast approaching that you will be held accountable both in this life and the next. You and I took the same oath, administered by the same people. We both swore to protect the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Some of you actually feel that you honor that oath, but you violate it each time you force a young girl to her bedroom floor in nothing but her underwear and hold her there at gunpoint. Or when you shoot or stomp a family pet to death, or shoot a young boy down in cold blood in the mountains of Idaho, or incinerate over 70 innocent people in a church in Texas. Warriors indeed. How dare you call me a domestic terrorist? I go to work every day, sometimes at two jobs to make ends meet. I attend church every Sunday that I'm not working. As difficult as it is, I try to make time each day for my kids. I teach them about the Constitution and the Golden Rule. I have extra food and supplies to help myself and others through hard times. I try as hard as I can to obey the ever-increasing number of laws that are forced upon us, and I pay my fair share of taxes. I have a gun to protect myself and my family against those who would do us harm. I shouldn't have to use it to protect us against you. In fact, your organization is not even authorized by the Constitution and shouldn't be here, but since you are here, let's talk about your job description and performance. We have common enemies, you and I, that we should be united in fighting. The Founding Fathers never intended for us to fight each other. We should be as one. The current us-against-them attitude should never have been allowed to rear its ugly head. Division is unhealthy for the country. You will undoubtedly conduct more unconstitutional invasions of homes and businesses, and more innocent people will be injured or killed. a dairy in Pennsylvania, a rabbit grower in Kansas, a gun shop in New Mexico. It may even be me and my family. But let me make one thing abundantly clear. We, the people, have grown weary of living in fear. We're tired of being treated like animals. If you continue to follow the path that you are on, the time may come when you will not find us waiting to be descended upon when we least expect it. We may come to you. We outnumber you 1,000 to 1, and the same people that trained you trained many of us. We, the people, are becoming aware of those numbers. One day, you will launch one of your cowardly sneak attacks on an unsuspecting young family in Idaho, and instead of your brave sniper finding a defenseless, unarmed woman holding a baby in her arms, he may find that the tables have been turned. One day, instead of terrorizing and destroying another American family in retribution for a trivial infraction of an unconstitutional law, instead of shooting down defenseless children or young veterans that are trying only to live the American dream, you may find patriots waiting for you that have been pushed to their limit. One day, you will find that you have awakened a sleeping giant, and we, the people, will indeed hold you accountable for your evil deeds. Hundreds of men, women, and children have died at your hand because of poor information, no information, or just plain overzealous, out-of-control power freaks on an adrenaline high that have no regard for human life. Agents that think their badge is a license to kill with impunity. The difference between you and us is that we will not harm your family as long as they stay out of the fight. I don't want your family to go through what you have put many of ours through. Yes, they will be sad if you don't come home, but when the grieving is over, they will come to understand that you simply chose the wrong side. You see, this is nothing more than a conflict between good and evil. It's that simple, but this is not how it is supposed to be. This is not the America that the Founding Fathers entrusted us with. I implore each of you, before you go to work tomorrow, to take a long, hard look at yourself in the mirror and see if you truly like what you see. If you can look at yourself and be proud of what you've done, or what you may be called upon to do, or more importantly, if you feel that you can walk uprightly before God and look Him in the eye and feel justified in what you have done, then we have nothing further to discuss. But some of you are not really jackbooted thugs. Some of you are simply misguided and feel that you really are doing the right thing. To you, I say, please, follow your conscience, do what you know in your heart is right, for we the people will hold you accountable.
You fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb.
Bring it on. If you're tired of being spoon-fed politically correct Calvin every time you turn the radio on, join Corp Reynolds for The Shooting Bench here on the Just Measures Radio Network for the most politically incorrect firearms information program on talk radio.
I heard your teeth chatter from the cold outside. Saw the bullets open up the wounds in your side. I saw the young boys as they began to fall. You had tears in your eyes, cause you couldn't help it all. But you fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb.
The Shooting Bench, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central.
The folks thought he'd call a great victory ball, but he asked the band to play the song Dixie. For you, Johnny Reb, and all that you believe, cause you fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Corp Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on The Shooting Bench, here on Just Measures Radio.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me there.
All righty, let's get back here and finish this up here. We've got, here is Dianne Feinstein, I know I hate to mention this before y'all go to bed, have nightmares and stuff, but she's trying to do the same old thing. She's at it again. She's got this overwhelming desire here to make sure that there are no guns left in America. So after her defeat, little blow she took on her gun grabbing expedition last year, you remember she was trying to get the assault weapons ban passed, trying to do this and the other, and it was defeated. And you know, on one hand, I'm really glad that it was, but I'll have to say, on the other hand, I wish it hadn't been. Because it was, a lot of people immediately went back to sleep. A lot of people. One of the things that that good has come out of that is there have been quite a few people that have woken up, and as we talked about a while ago, we're seeing some improvements in that. But what about the improvements that we might see if people had maintained that same level of vigilance and they had continued to try as hard as they were and writing as many letters and doing, you know, being as active and tireless as when they were afraid that this stuff was going to pass? Oh, it didn't pass? Oh, okay, yeah, it's Miller time. All right, never mind. Don't worry about it. It'll, you know, if it ever happens again, we'll get out there and knock them out again. We're awesome. Well, by my way of thinking, they should have seized that little bit of headway that we had and continued to push and push and push hard, real hard, firmly, and tried to just strike while the iron was hot, so to speak. But we are seeing some benefit. I'm not going to gripe about it because we've seen a lot of things getting better in various areas. I feel like that the opposition is setting back and reorganizing, and I'm not convinced that we are organizing as hard as we could be, as hard as we need to be to defeat this. We have a president who is absolutely the most important thing in his life is to destroy this country. And this, of course, cannot be allowed to happen. Kilo, I don't understand. And of course, she comes from a place there where, you know, there's a lot of people dislike her. I guess she keeps getting voted in. And I don't understand it. But I don't understand how people like, how does Hank Johnson keep getting voted in? That's the stupidest man that ever crapped between a pair of boots right there. They don't get any dumber than Hank Johnson. That's the dumbest individual I ever seen in my life. Anybody that thinks that an island is going to capsize when you get too many people on one side of it, not only does he not deserve to be a legislator, I think he deserves to be locked up. There's something damn sure wrong with him. I mean, that's just way, way too dumb. But anyway, all right. Let's go back here and talk about Feinstein here. Anyway, she is... in a letter that's been going around Washington there, she's citing a 45-year-old law that basically allows certain guns to be stopped from import, according to the ATF, according to their interpretation of sporting purposes. Feinstein claims that importers are attempting to go around the guidelines of the Gun Control Act of 1968, in which the importation of firearms that are not generally recognized as particularly suitable for or readily adaptable to sporting purposes. Now, I guess they would have to define exactly what sporting purposes means. She believes that importers are attempting to work around the language in order to import weapons that she believes does not match the interpretation and thereby circumvent the ban. Feinstein and others like her want to attempt to portray that ordinary citizens shouldn't own guns unless they're for hunting or sport. Something that actually is not mentioned in the Second Amendment, but, you know, just saying. According to Feinstein, many semi-automatic firearms on the market today do not have a military origin, but are modeled closely after military firearms. Okay, we still need to go back and figure out what sporting purposes means. Even if that were the case, is a three-gun match not a sporting purpose? Is the matches at Camp Perry every year, is that a sporting purpose? Do we have, matter of fact, I'll tell you the truth, I killed a coyote with my SKS here a few years ago. And that was hunting, sporting purpose. I guess I better call it hunting so I don't get in trouble. Yeah, it was hunting. Yep, killed him dead, one shot. So I think that these weapons, no matter how they're built, can certainly be used for sporting purposes. It says if they are generally recognized as particularly suitable or readily adaptable to sporting purposes. Now, son, I want you to know that I can take anything that goes bang, any damn rifle, pistol, shotgun, cap gun, whatever, you bring me something goes bang, I will figure out a way to make sporting purpose out of it. That's just my contribution to society there. Okay. Let's see. Hunting rifles, any gun you can kill a deer with. That's right. Yeah, sure enough. All right, let's go back over here and look at Feinstein. Let's see. We already got that word. The California senator cited a study for the Center of Public Integrity. Wow. And wrote, 700 Romanian AK-47 variant rifles were identified in 134 federal gun trafficking prosecutions involving illegal smuggling from the United States to Mexico and other Latin American countries. Well, I think you should probably take that up with your attorney general right now. That's what I'm thinking. can you believe the hypocrisy in that? Smuggling AK-47 from the U.S. to Mexico. Let's point out that this is not ordinary American citizens doing this. It was the blatantly illegal actions of the unconstitutional agency of the federal government known as the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, who were engaged in gun running across the border. It was this administration's Justice Department that had been stonewalling for years to give the necessary documentation to Congress in order to get to the bottom of the matter. Anyway, her new ban would seek to target semi-automatic rifles with fixed magazines and a capacity of more than 10 fixed magazines with a capacity of more than 10 rounds. Her new ban would seek to target semi-automatic rifles with fixed magazines with a capacity of more than 10 rounds, and those that have so-called military attributes like thumb hole stocks. All right, let's stop right there. I'm having a hard time thinking of right now, just right off the top of my head, how many semi-automatic rifles there are out there with fixed magazines. That means non-detachable, with a capacity of more than 10 rounds. All right, if you think of something right offhand, well, give me a holler. Let me know, would you? Not counting tubular magazines and 22s. And those that have military attributes like thumb-hole stocks. I'm also having a little bit of trouble trying to figure out which military rifles there are that have thumb-hole stocks. I don't recall when I was in the military. I don't reckon I ever saw one. Those semi-auto rifles and pistols that have detachable magazines with a capacity greater than 10 rounds would also be banned, regardless of the military pedigree of the firearm or the configuration of the firearm's magazine well. Feinstein's letter to Barack Obama was obtained by the Daily Caller, but not posted to her Senate.gov website. Here is the letter. Dear Mr. President. Wow, that's a long-ass letter. Jeez. Let me see if I can just go skim over this and get some of the high points here. During your State of the Union address, you stated that you want to make 2014 a year of action. We write to urge you to take immediate action to address the significant number of assault weapons that are being imported in the United States in contravention of federal law. We respectfully request that you take steps to ensure that BATF fully enforces the ban on the importation of these military-style firearms. Then she goes on to talk about the Gun Control Act 1968 and the certain parts of the U.S. Code prohibits the importation of firearms, like we said, not generally recognized as suitable for sporting purposes. Wow, this is quite the letter. She must have stayed up all night to write this. These military-style firearms are not prohibited under the current import ban, even though they are functionally equivalent to prohibited rifles with military origin. In addition, the Treasury Department's 1998 guidance allows foreign-made firearms to be imported into the United States without military features, even though these firearms have the capacity to fire multiple times in quick succession without the need to reload, and can easily have military features attached. Alrighty then. On further down in the letter, said, according to data obtained from the Commerce Department of the International Trade Commission and analyzed by the Center for Public Integrity, 2.96 million rifles and handguns were imported into the United States in 2009, more than double the 1.32 million imported in 2005. Well, good for us. In January, Russia's Kalashnikov gunmaker announced that it plans to sell in the United States up to 200,000 rifles and shotguns, many of which are designed after the Kalashnikov AK-47 assault rifle. An analysis by the Violence Policy Center found that more than 700 Romanian AK-47 variant rifles were identified in 134 federal gun trafficking prosecutions. You know, we heard that already. Anyway, that's a pretty interesting letter here per the way she words this stuff. It's a long, long, long letter. Let's see. Wasser 10s have repeatedly been found in the arsenals of top drug kingpins and their associates. For example, at least one Wasser 10 was found in, for those of you that don't know, Wasser 10 is a Romanian AK-47 style rifle, used in May of 2008 to kill 8 police officers in a city in Mexico, in the northwestern part of the country. An analysis conducted by the Center for Public Integrity found that over the last 4 years, Wasser 10 rifles comprised more than 17% of the firearms recovered at Mexican crime scenes and successfully traced back to the United States. You're not telling him anything he doesn't know, because that was all part of a very carefully laid plan there. So she says, we urge ATF to close the loopholes that allow the importation of military-style weapons in the United States. Such an approach should, at a minimum, prohibit importation of all semi-automatic rifles that can accept or be readily converted to accept a large-capacity ammunition magazine of more than 10 rounds, regardless of the military pedigree of the rifle, or the firearm, or the configuration of the firearm's magazine well. It should prohibit semi-automatic rifles with fixed magazines with a capacity of more than 10 rounds. Okay, I don't think there's much of that going on anyway. It would prohibit, well, I guess there could be. I've got those, they modified the magazine catch here on some AR-15s to make it where it would hold a 20-round magazine, but you couldn't take it out without the use of a tool. And Senator Yee attacked that already. It would prohibit the importation of the frame or receiver of any prohibited rifle, regardless of whether it is incorporated into a fully manufactured firearm. It would prohibit the practice of importing assault rifles in parts and then constructing the rifles once they're in the United States by adding a requisite number of American-made parts. What she's doing is taking the original assault weapons ban here and filling up all the places that she thought that we were getting around it, and she's doing a pretty damn good job. Prohibit the use of a thumb-hole stock as a means to avoid classification of a rifle as an assault rifle, and prohibit the importation of assault pistols in addition to assault rifles. Well, there you have it. But there's a little more to the story there, but that's the biggest part of it. So, anyway, let's see. The Gauntlet 40, that's exactly right. But the bullet button deal, that was what I was talking about, the tool that they needed to get the magazine out. Now, let's see. Let me go down through the chat room here real quick and see what's going on. Yeah, Indiana Bones Mac 90 does have a thumbhole stock. As a matter of fact, the thumbhole stock is what actually made it a Mac 90. Mac 90s, as far as I know, all Mac 90s had the thumbhole stock. That was one of their features there. The ones that don't had been changed after they got into the country. But still, I haven't seen any military rifles with thumbhole stocks, as she said earlier. let's see. All right. All right. Let's do one more. I want to recap one thing here before we close up shop, and that is the most awesome story come out of California today, the most absolutely amazing story in the whole world. And that is Senator Leland Yee, who is the one behind some of the most restrictive anti-gun legislation in California. He rates right up there neck and neck with Feinstein and Pelosi and all the rest of them. Well, if you guys didn't catch the first of the show, I love it when a plan comes together. Karma is definitely a bitch. Senator Yee has been arrested for gun trafficking. Oh, that's so funny. This has tickled me to death all day long. I just love it. Anyway, he's gonna have to find him a boyfriend in Club Fed here and spend some time with, because I think he's gonna be gone for a while. Everybody thinks he's gonna get his wrist slapped and get right out of there. I'm thinking maybe not. I'm thinking it's gonna suck to be him starting here just right away quick. He is in deep kimchi, as they say, with gun trafficking and altogether there was something like 26 counts or something like that. He's accused. Let me look at a couple of things here. He was praised for his efforts to make government more transparent and authored gun control legislation. He was arrested Monday, accused of conspiracy to deal in firearms and wire fraud. The allegations are outlined in an FBI affidavit in support of criminal complaint against him and 25 other people. He performed official acts, in quotation marks, in exchange for donations from undercover FBI agents, as he sought to dig himself out of a $70,000 debt incurred during a failed San Francisco run for mayor. He is also accused of accepting $10,000 in January from an undercover agent in exchange for his making a call to the California Department of Public Health in support of a contract under consideration with the agency. And anyway, several other people named this, but he was the head kahuna there. He's the guy behind everything, it appears like. So, 65 years old, represents much of San Francisco and western San Francisco and much of San Mateo County. So I'm real anxious to see how this turns out. If they let him go, I think this is going to be a very, very bad thing. But I'm thinking probably not. But anyhow, be that as it may, it is time for me to head on out of here. In spirit, I was glad you made it in. Indiana Bones, Gauntlet 40, and all the rest of you that made it in. It's kind of late out there on the East Coast, so we've lost a few of them along the way. But still got a couple of Anonymous hanging out there with us. BB Burner's hanging in there. So I appreciate it, guys, and we will see you in the morning with on Amy's show. And she starts now. Amy's show Monday is going to change. We tried the 7 o'clock thing, and it's earlier than most of the people on the Pacific Pacific time zone and mountain want to get up and listen to the show. They got chores to do and husbands to get off to work and things to do. So we're going back starting Monday morning to 8 o'clock Pacific time. That's going to be 9 Mountain, 10 Central, and 11 a.m. Eastern time starting Monday. We'll be back at her 7 o'clock in the morning, earlier regular time tomorrow. And she's off Friday. And then, hey, Minnie. And Monday, we'll be back to 8 o'clock Pacific time. So there you have it. All right, guys. Appreciate it very much. And we'll see you manana.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.